Who's Talking is brought to you by University Square, a collection of locally owned high-end shops and restaurants offering unique products and free storefront parking. Visit University Square on Franklin Street, downtown Chapel Hill. University Square. See you there.
Now, here's D.G. Martin on WCHL.
Welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm real excited. I got two of my favorite people to join us. They're both artists. One, Elaine O'Neill, is a textile collage artist of this wonderful, wonderful work. And the other is the famous John Rosenthal, really known across the country and across the world for his photography. These are really two of Chapel Hill's best artists, and they're here to tell us about some of the other best artists who are in association with each other in the still new gallery on Franklin Street called Frank. Elaine and John, thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Now, you guys both have an independent fan base, and what led you? Tell us about Frank and your relationship with Frank, the gallery. John, you first.
Well, I didn't really know until about the day before one's application was due to be a member that such a thing was going on. And I was talking to another photographer, and he asked me if I wanted to apply for membership in Frank. And I said, well, what's Frank? And then I found out that they were forming this wonderful collective for a gallery on Franklin Street. And I applied, and I was fortunate enough to be accepted.
Well, Elaine, you were one of the founding members, weren't you? And
that's
how did
right.
Give us a little, maybe we ought to, for those people who really don't know anything about Frank, tell us a little bit about the gallery to start with, and then tell us how it got started.
Sure. Frank is a collective, like John said. We have about 25 member artists who have a financial stake in Frank and work the store and work on committees and kind of help run the whole gallery. And then we have another 50-odd consigning members, so a little more than 85 local artists who are involved in Frank. And we have a gallery director, Barbara Rich. But otherwise, the member artists run the whole gallery. We are kind of peer juried, and that means that the artists jury in new artists. We hang the shows. We do all the food for openings. We do the PR. Kind of we do all the nuts and bolts.
So it's a group of like a club in one sense. The result, though, for those of us who don't know anything about this inside makeup that is very interesting, is a gallery on Franklin Street that is, I don't want to say it's like a museum, but it's a destination place to stop. It's full of great art.
It is.
You know, and a lot of us, I don't want to say this, I don't want to say we don't care where it came from. That's not fair. But the main thing is it's fun and attractive and a fun place to visit.
D.G., have you ever known there to be a gallery on Franklin Street?
I can't remember there being a gallery on Franklin
Street.
No, I've
tried to go back decades, and I can't remember a gallery in downtown Chapel Hill.
So all the time we're crying about the deterioration of downtown, this is something that we've never had before that's fantastic.
We've had bookstores. We had two movie theaters. We had a camera store. But we never had a gallery, and that, of course, is strange, considering the fact that Chapel Hill is a kind of hub for artists, and there are hundreds of them, and there always have been. And now we actually have a gallery that represents many of them, and it is a beautiful gallery.
It was kind of the brainchild of Dwight Bassett, the economic development director for Chapel Hill. He got a group of us together 2 years ago and to see if there was interest in starting a collective gallery on Franklin Street. And there was a group interested, and I'm one of those founding members. But we worked with the town and the downtown partnership and other business communities. So it's kind of town government and local businesses that all came together kind of at the same time and said, yes, this would be good for Chapel Hill, for downtown to have another destination, another reason to come downtown.
Well, let me just ask the question this way. Is Frank a business? Is it a nonprofit? Is it a cooperative? Is it a charity? Is it, or what?
We're a nonprofit, 501c3, I guess is the correct term. So we do, it's the money that we do pay our artists a percentage, but we are not there to make money. We have a lot of outreach programs, educational partnerships with children and those folks in the community who need a place to come. On Thursdays, we have something we call TGI Thursdays, and we're open late. And every Thursday night, we have music. We have UNC professors giving presentations. We have playmakers coming and doing parts of their plays, artists speaking about their work. And it's become an amazing gathering time and spot for artists of all kinds.
Every Thursday evening?
Mm-hmm.
And when does the action start? About what time does the action start?
6 o'clock, right?
6 to 8 every Thursday.
So for those of us who have a hard time developing a social life,
this would be perfect.
This is the place that you can come by yourself or with your friends and
exactly.
Enjoy the art and enjoy the fun. And is this business or is this public service? Are you making sales and making money? Is it economically a good thing to do, or is this just?
Well, one always hopes that you come into the gallery and attend a salon and you look around, and you might make a sale for sure. But it's also public service. It really is part of a revitalizing instinct. There's a buzz. People are interested in Franklin Street in a way that they haven't been for a while. That's something that really fascinates me about the Frank Gallery. The fact that this group of artists are showing their work on Franklin Street. And when you think about this town, you have to imagine how many people in this town would like to be able to walk down the center of Chapel Hill and go to a gallery who haven't had the opportunity to do so. I mean, we have scholars, we have professors, we have scientists, we have every kind of person in this town, not just students. And there should be something for them, too. I mean, of course, we want to sell sports paraphernalia. We want to sell whatever we can in downtown Chapel Hill. But there are a lot of beautiful homes in Chapel Hill that could use some art on the wall. And
let me ask you this, John. This is you're an artist, and mm-hmm. and I just you and Elaine's work, I just say y'all are among the favorite people whose work I feel like I understand and I just love. But now, how about you? You're an artist, but you're also a consumer. And have you met and come to appreciate another artist just because of the contact that you had through? Have you become a consumer too in a way that you wouldn't have been had it not been for Frank?
Yes. I would say that the major emotional attachment that I have to Frank is suddenly getting to know a group of artists. I mean, photographers are remarkably solitary, and the kind of photography I did for 30 years, I mean, I spent my days in a dark room. I didn't really know that many artists. I knew a few photographers. I was associated with galleries, but I didn't really know the other artists in the gallery. But all of a sudden at Frank, here we are, we're a collective, and we're responsible for making this thing work. I mean, we are curating the shows, we're hanging the shows, we're sitting behind the counter, making the sales. And plus, of course, we're attending meetings and trying to figure out how to make this thing work. And that means we're getting to know each other.
Well, tell me about one of your favorite art, or the art. Tell me about the art of one of or your favorite art of one of the artists that you've gotten to know that you really that you could say, DG, you want to go look at this? You want to go look at this person's
right,
work?
Right. Well, right off the top of my head, you'd first say Elaine.
You'd first say Elaine, of course, O'Neill.
Well, Elaine, without question. just from a photographic point of view, I really enjoy the work of Barbara Tyroler.
Tell us about her.
Well, Barbara does these beautiful, well, she does all kinds of photography, but the kind that she's been showing lately are these wonderful underwater abstractions. How would you explain it, Elaine? I mean, they're you look, and at first you don't realize that it's actually, it's actually kids underwater. But then you begin to see it. It's all kind of playful. It's photography. It's digital work. It's really great. And they're beautiful. They're just beautiful abstractions.
Well,
and I love looking at them,
And so you appreciate it as a fellow photographer doing something quite different from what you do, but you like it.
It's true. And Alan Damer's bichromate work is gorgeous and mysterious. That's a photographic process.
Well, we need to take a break, and then we'll come back and I'm going to ask Elaine the same question and hear about some other artists. We're visiting with John Rosenthal and Ellen O'Neill, who are members of Frank, the downtown gallery on Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. We'll be right back after this short break. Who's Talking is brought to you by University Square. It's locally owned, high-end shops and restaurants, and free parking on Franklin Street, downtown Chapel Hill. See you there.
Now, once again, here is D.G. Martin.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about Frank, the gallery on Franklin Street. If you haven't been there, you've had a year. Whoa, it's a year, almost. And we're celebrating the anniversary, aren't we, Elaine, of Frank? Are we going to have a birthday party or anything?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. We are. We're having a big first birthday party, and we're calling it Off the Wall. It's an unusual twist to the typical art fundraiser in that we have 100 pieces of donated art from Frank artists and some other artists in the community, valued from well over $200 to up to $3,000. And then we're selling that same number of tickets, 100 tickets, for $200 each. And those people who buy those tickets the night of the gala, when their name is drawn out of a hat, they can literally take art off the wall.
Oh, so the first one gets the first
they
choice.
They get the first
so
choice
get,
of 100.
They get the $5,000 piece.
That's
and then
right.
DG, with his luck, would be the 100th. But he'd still get to a $200 piece.
It's or well over 200. It's all really great art. So the person at the end will, I'm sure, love their piece just as much. And we're excited about it. It's something different. Those people who buy the $200 tickets can also bring a friend for $75. They don't take a piece of art home, but they get to have
fun. So you buy your ticket, and you're going to get a piece of art. And you're also going to have a party.
Exactly.
Great. And what did you put in?
I put two pieces in. One is called Dining with a View, and it's a dining room table scene with white French doors overlooking a Maine coast scene at night. Mm-hmm. And then I have kind of an abstract Matisse-style piece.
My golly, I want to see that, your abstractions.
Bright and colorful.
Now, we're going to come back to you about you think about the artist that you love, and we're going to come back. But, John, what about your work that's going to be a part of this? It's not an auction. It's a auction.
It's
ticketed,
a lottery.
It's a lottery. No! It's a legal lottery type.
It's a drawing. It's a drawing. Frank Stachow is going to host
We don't really view public radio as a competitor. We always admire Frank Stachow. And he is... going to be the drawer?
Yeah, he's the one that's going to read out the names and
all right.
so forth.
Well, that'll be great. And what day is that going to be? Do you all remember?
April 30th.
April 30th. Okay, put that on your calendar. Elaine, and that is a big, that'll be the big party and fundraiser.
Exactly.
And the gala celebration.
And keep in mind, the artists who are contributing, they're really putting in work that's worth a lot more than $200, so it's going
to
be.
I forgot to ask you which of you're going to give us some of these giant framed photographs.
Well, they're not giant, but they're going to be 20-inch framed photographs. And
if you would give me, put one of those really big ones in there, I'd be down there in a minute.
What? Well, I will. Let me just switch out the one time.
John Rosenthal's a world-famous photographer and is a member of Frank. That's the gallery on Franklin Street that we've been talking about. And Elaine O'Neill, John, y'all are just samples of the great artist. Elaine, I promised that I was going to come back to you with sort of the question we asked John earlier about artists that you've gotten to know and whose work you've kind of gotten to love. And it's hard to pick out one, and this is only a sample.
It's really hard because, the gallery is just full of great stuff.
We'll do it anyway.
Okay. I guess Paul Rozovsky's work, he does some fabulous abstracts, great colors and textures. Not only have I learned to love him as a friend, but just appreciate his work so much. And another person I would say is Peg Bockenheimer, who does encaustic work, which is...
What is that?
Yeah, it was new to me, too, and it's just fascinating. It's work done with beeswax, pigment in beeswax, so it's got this amazing sheen and luminosity to it. It's really, really amazing.
Elaine, can I go see the work of these artists that you and John have been telling me about? Or is it always on all the members' work? There's always something on display from a member.
There is.
And John, when you decide, I mentioned before we got started this wonderful photograph taken by you inside the Phillips Gallery in Washington, which has it has beautiful art, which is the subject, but that's not the main thing. It's something else going on. How did you decide to do the work, and then how did you decide that this is the one that you would put in Frank and offer it for sale?
Well, that one isn't. I mean, we haven't put those up yet. So
I saw it. I just saw it.
Well, that's for sale too. But
but the ones that you're putting up in auction.
I think they're going to be up a couple of weeks before the auction.
But I tell you what, put the auction out of your mind for just a second. In the regular way that you operate, you bring work to be sold by Frank, and if it's sold, you'll get some of the proceeds and then share some of it for the operation of the gallery. How do you decide, or how did Frank decide what work you, as a member, get to display, and how much of space do you get, and how do you make all those decisions?
Well, generally speaking, if you're a member and you bring in work, the work is going to be put up unless there's not enough room, oftentimes it's a spatial problem, especially when you're talking about two-dimensional work. There's a given amount of wall space. So you bring in work and you say, well, I'd like to exhibit this. And if there's room, it goes up. There's always going to be some work of a member. But I also have a lot of work in the back room. If it's sold, they would go in the back room and they'd pull out another photograph.
If I came in, John, excuse me for getting in so much detail about this, but if I came in and I say, I like John Rosenthal's, this Phillips Gallery, but I love it. I like the way he does it, but this is not for you. You got anything else?
Yeah.
Then they would be able to take me back in the back and show, or bring out some more of your work maybe.
More than likely. There are times when, of course, you're in between and, there's nothing
back
there.
But what if you go and you say, hey, I'm helping a lot. Why can't I hang two or three or four or five of my work outside? How do you settle that?
It's a collective. We're all very thoughtful and considerate of each other.
Yeah, I bet.
We sure are. I mean, that's kind of the point.
Who makes the decisions?
Well, when the show, there is a gallery, a hanging, what would they call it? Just the gallery committee? The gallery committee. And so when we decide that the show is going to have a particular shape, a particular substance, it's going to be like small work, or it's going to be figurative work. You bring it in, and then the gallery committee will hang it appropriately, making sure that, of course, the members are on display. But we also have 50 consigners. And
tell her, what's the difference between a member and a consigner?
Elaine.
Members have the financial stake. We pay rent
y'all
to be there.
Y'all are sort of the, I mean, it's a nonprofit.
We're the worker
bees. You're the owners and workers. You're the, quote, owners and workers.
Exactly.
You're the ones, and mm-hmm. and so you have the power to make collectively decisions. And then you all, I've asked the question. I'm trying to answer it.
You're doing just fine.
But then you're also promoting local art among people who are not your members, but whose quality you appreciate and would like to encourage. How do you decide who makes the decisions about which artists who are not members whose works?
Well, like we have a gallery committee, we also have a curating
jurying committee,
and they if there are people who would like to have membership in Frank, they have great art they think, and they'd like to be a part of Frank. They send in a CD with their images, and then the jurying group gets together once a quarter or once every half a year, look at the new work, and then they pick
these
the
artwork.
These
would be the consigning
mm-hmm.
artist.
Right.
And if you develop a relationship as a consigning artist, how does the economics of that work? How does it, is it just like a regular gallery? There would be a percentage that you would
take? Exactly. And in reality, we only need enough members to fill the work that's required of the gallery. So we need about 25 or 30 people to fill that amount of work. And then the rest would be consigners.
Now, is there any way to become a member, to be a new member? Or are you all...
We would take membership from the consigners.
I see.
From that group, if they want
and
to.
And then they would have to chip in. You'd have to
exactly.
buy your way in.
Something
I mean, you'd have
like
to pay
that,
what
right.
y'all, the same amount
exactly.
that y'all had paid.
Artistically speaking, there really is no difference. Between yeah. consigners and members. Members were lucky enough to get in on the ground floor when the gallery opened. Depending on your point of view, you of course have hours a month that you have to work there, and the consigners don't. But the consigners are pretty much, they're absolutely as
top
fine.
Top rate.
We have
for those of us who come in to buy art, they're the same. Well, we need to take another break, and we'll do that. And afterwards, we'll come back and talk to Elaine O'Neill and John Rosenthal about the still sort of new, wonderfully placed art gallery on Franklin Street called Frank. We'll be right back.
Who's Talking is brought to you by University Square, a collection of locally owned high-end shops and restaurants offering unique products and free storefront parking. Visit University Square on Franklin Street, downtown Chapel Hill. University Square, see you there.
Now, here's D.G. Martin on WCHL.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about Frank, which is the art gallery on Franklin Street. Hey, did you not know that there was an art gallery on Franklin Street? We just learned that it's for the first time that anybody can remember. There's an art gallery on Franklin Street right in the middle of downtown. And if those of you who worry about Franklin Street are going to take a look at it, Elaine O'Neill and John Rosenthal, both of whom are artists who are members of this artist cooperative, are here to talk some more about it. One of the things that we've been talking about that interests me is this crazy fundraising idea that they've got. And that, John, you were telling me what art you got. How many artists? 100? 200? 100?
100 art pieces.
100 art pieces. And I can buy a ticket for $200. And the minimal value of the art
is $200.
But there'll be a drawing of the 100 names. And if you're first, you get your first choice.
First
if you're 100th, you get what's left.
You got the last one.
And Elaine told us about her artwork that's there. What about yours, John?
Well, for the auction, I decided that I would take something from the very early part of my career when I was just simply a black and white photographer walking around New York City and built up a fairly large body of work over 20, 25 years. And then I decided I was also going to take something from my brand new work. So what I have is a black and white photograph taken in the Museum of Modern Art. in 1974 or 5 of Picasso's Guernica with a guard standing next to it. And Guernica is one of the most famous paintings in the world. And it was taken on, went back to Spain after Franco fell. And so we haven't seen it in this country in all those years. But here is a kind of a, you know, a classic old photograph of New York in the 70s, the museum with Guernica. And the newer image was taken this summer in Nebraska. It's about as far away from the Museum of Modern Art as you can get. And it's an old farmhouse in the middle of a field of corn. And it's a color photograph. It's a photograph I like a lot. It looks like something out of a Joyce Carol Oates story.
Oh, what
very haunting kind of image. So anyway, you know, that kind of thing we're putting in the show.
This is a man who has fallen in love with one of his pictures. Yeah. He really loves this one.
I love this new picture.
Well, everyone would want to know, John, who's followed your work and knows it and also has experienced the digital age. How far into the digital age have you gone now?
About three quarters, maybe halfway. I like to shoot a lot of my photographs with film, and then I like to scan the negative and print digitally. Printing digitally is a superior technology. There's no question about it. But I do like the quality of film. There is something in a negative that I don't quite find in a digital file.
What about you? Are you still primarily a classical black and white photographer?
No,
you moved to color. And what tell us about the transformation or the evolvement.
Well, it happened in New Orleans I went down and began to photograph in the Ninth Ward.
This is after Katrina.
Yeah,
Katrina. Had a whole wonderful exhibit of your photography.
I have an exhibit of that coming up this summer at the Gregg Museum in Raleigh. It's going to be the whole entire portfolio.
Wow.
It's going to be a big exhibit. But when I went down to New Orleans and started photographing the Lower Ninth, I thought about black and white, but, you know, New Orleans is a tropical landscape, and it's all about color. And I decided to put color film in my camera. And ever since then, I've just been fascinated. It's a different world, really.
So you got converted. You know, I mean, there was a Damascus Road experience down in New Orleans, and you came from black and white to color.
It's true, but I don't think that I don't love color photography more than black and white. It's just that, you know, 25, 30 years of black and white, why not? Why not go and see what the world looks like?
Well, I would just, I mean, coming back at you, that the pieces of your work that I love that are on display at the Frank Gallery on Franklin Street right now are black and white.
They are black and white. They're one was taken in the 80s, and I think one was taken in the late 90s. But they are digitally printed. I scan those negatives.
Well,
and you know the wonderful thing about digital printing is that, you know, you have a negative like the one I found of the Picasso. That was a damaged negative, but once I turned it into a file, I could repair the damage. And so all of a sudden, I have the photograph again. You know, it's spots, bacteria, that sort of thing. So it's all fascinating.
It is fascinating. And Elaine O'Neill, I'm also fascinated with the development of your work. It was
Thank
great
you.
From the beginning, from the early days of your textile collage art. A little bit different now, I guess, as you go on. And it's leveraged, and there are multiple ways in which you can have your images, too. They're not just...
That's right. I think my work has changed, like you say, a little bit over the years. I've perfected it or, you know, just evolution. Things change a little bit, and my style has gotten a little bit more detailed maybe than it once was at the beginning. I've perfected how to sew and all of that sort of thing. And mine's always color. You know, the more color, the better, as far as I'm concerned. But I do have a series of prints that I sell and in different sizes and note cards. And one piece of my original work is really labor-intensive. So a print is just a way to get it into more people's hands at a lower price than, and you know, working a month on one piece. There's only so many months in a year. you know,
you
so
sort of
print is good.
Copying John's idea that you go to a lot of trouble to get the basic work, but then in photography and also in printing, the making the next one is not as hard as making the original.
Right.
And that's kind of an artistic leverage, I guess, that you can make. You can share your work and also get an economic reward without staying up all night long to make
Elaine's
the second.
Work is so magical.
Why is it? Why do you say that, John?
I really had never looked very closely at textile art and the use of color and the materials that she uses, and essentially the image that she works toward. It's always surprising. There was one you had with eagles, right? They were just extraordinary. I walked in and I looked at that thing and thought, I wish I had a little bit more money in my pocket.
No, that's the problem with Elaine's success is that it's not as...
You have a couple of them,
I know,
DJ,
but
yes.
I got them in the early days. I treasure them. I mean, they're it's like the first Picasso. That's the... But you can help me with this, John Rosenthal, on Elaine's work and the transfer of that work from the textile collage, I guess you'd call it. That when I saw it, I said, "What's magic about this is that it's got those fabrics that you know you could go up and feel them almost, and yet when you take a picture of it and turn it into a print, it also works pretty well." I mean, but it's no longer real textile work. And how does that work? Why is it that it that,
the, original
that the magic
concept
is still there?
Is there? It's a translation. I mean, you can read War and Peace in the original, and you can read a translation. I mean, it's the same. It's true that there is something always lost when you go from a real fabric to a print, but you have the concept, and you know it is actually the inside of Elaine's mind that one finally looks at. That's what art is a, you know, it's a glimpse inside. And if you have an interesting mind, you're going to be able to translate your work into a print.
I love that, because the way I translate that, Elaine O'Neill is in prior conversations says she's her art is quirky. So
that
if it's translating a quirky. No,
that makes sense.
Before I get in trouble, we better take a break before I get in trouble. We're visiting with Elaine O'Neill and with John Rosenthal. They are both familiar artists to many of us here in Chapel Hill, part of the founding group of members of the Frank Art Gallery, celebrating its first anniversary. We'll all be back after this short break.
Who's Talking is brought to you by University Square. It's locally owned, high-end shops and restaurants, and free parking on Franklin Street, downtown Chapel Hill. See you there.
Now, once again, here is D.G. Martin.
Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about the Frank, the gallery on Franklin Street, the art gallery on Franklin Street. And it's right there for all of us to go visit. It's a marvelous new attraction for Chapel Hill in the downtown area, which a lot of us have been begging for something new. We've got it. And now we're celebrating its first anniversary. Elaine, tell me, I mean, Frank? Where in the world did a name like Frank come from? You were there in the, you were one of the founding members.
That's
did you
right.
choose this name?
Well, you know, we were so lucky to be kind of hooked up with the Jennings Group, which is kind of a world-famous branding and advertising company here in Chapel Hill. And they helped us with a number of things right at the beginning. One was the name, and one was kind of the brand, the way we write Frank with an upside-down red A in the middle. It was really fun when we went to our first meeting and brainstormed about what we were trying to be, what the concept of this collective would be. They listened to us, and we came back a week or so later, and they had a number of names that they showed us one at a time on a card to see our reaction to it.
Of names like, just names like Frank? Frank is the boy's name?
You know, it was like, we wanted something so that We knew it was on Franklin Street, and somebody said it should be the Franklin Street Art Gallery, and that just seems so boring.
That would be me. You know? That would be something else.
I thought it was named after Frank Sinatra.
So anyway, we finally came down to, we all thought Frank was kind of different and hip, and we could do a lot of marketing with it. You could remember it. It was kind of cool. And
it catches your attention because it's a little bit, what?
Yeah.
Why? What?
That's right. And it's a fun, unusual kind of name. Not many people are named Frank anymore, you know. So anyway, it was chosen. And then we went back the next week, and they gave us the name Frank in lots of different fonts and lots of different colors. And we picked.
And you got a whole bunch of artists selecting, and they've probably all got their own ideas about it. And
that was
big
a small group. Luckily, there were only three or four of us on that group.
Uh-huh. And how's it worked? Looking back at it, is it a good brand? Is it worked well?
I think it is good, John. What do you think?
I think so. But if the artwork wasn't good, it wouldn't have worked.
So that the brand is not just saying Frank, but it is the visuals that go with it, and you. Memorable? The Frank, yeah, with the upside down A.
Well, the upside down A is, you can use it in a variety of ways. I don't know. It's just easy. It's just a good name.
Well, it interested me. I have to say that I wouldn't have voted for it. I have to confess that. But then I saw selling T-shirts for $25, and they look good with that Frank on them.
They do.
It kind of changed my mind a little bit about it, that you've got something that not only identifies the product, but it's kind of like Coke that you would pay to advertise this business. You know?
Right.
What about the future? We just got a few minutes, and we're celebrating y'all's first birthday. What's for the future? Is this a sustainable model, or are you just having to struggle so hard to keep it going that it can't last forever?
Well, we sure hope it lasts. You know, we made it this first year in, an economic situation that hasn't been easy for anybody, let alone an art gallery. And we're real happy about that. And we're working so hard coming up with great programming for the next year. We have some fun things to look forward to. Hopefully this fundraiser, Off the Wall, we're calling it, will be a great success. And it's a nonprofit, so it'll just be, we'll just keep plugging along and keep having great shows. And I think the more people start to hear about us, recognize us, come to the openings and the shows, buy art, it'll work.
Let me press you on this just a little bit, but just from your standpoint economically, are you doing public service work, or does the availability of this market work out for you economically in a way that you can justify to your shareholders at home the time that you spend on it?
We're learning. I mean, nobody really knew. For instance, who comes to a gallery in downtown Chapel Hill? We don't want necessarily just simply students to come. Will their parents come? On what days of the year do the parents come to town? How do we get the word out so that people, begin to talk among each other in the community? There is a gallery. Let's go downtown. It's a destination at this point. Whereas when we first were up, it was just, nobody had ever heard of it. It was just a place. But now people are actually coming in. More and more people coming in. But we're also figuring out our market. And that has to do with, artists deciding which work they're going to put up, which work they can sell. It's selling is a little bit more important in this market than it is in others. That sometimes a gallery, for instance, would have a show, sales weren't as important as having a good show. Sales are very important at Frank, and so we all, have to kind of recalibrate.
So you, as an artist and a member, you're learning not just about producing great art, but producing. You're closer to the good art that sells, and that you can concentrate on. If you want to, you can concentrate on going to your market.
Right, but one month, for instance, I might put up my New Orleans work, which might not be as sellable as classic New York. But I like to have it out there. I like for people to see that I do this other work. But yeah, one does keep in mind that this is a gallery that's going to rely on sales. So, yeah, that's part of it.
Elaine, what have you learned?
Well, you know, as an artist, like John said, we work by ourselves, so it's been nice to collaborate with other people. But for me, it's been very interesting on the business end how a gallery works. You know, all the bills a gallery has, all the, you know, I think at some point artists don't like giving a percentage of their sales to the gallery. What's the gallery doing for me? And gosh, they haven't sold my work this month. Or, but when you're on the other end and you're watching where that money goes and how much time's required to make a sale or how much the light bill costs or the mailing of certain invitations, it's just been a huge learning curve for me to see the other side of it.
Yeah. Well, it's also a great thing for Chapel Hill. I wish we had more time to visit with you all about your work, Elaine O'Neill and John Rosenthal. Thanks for coming to tell us about Frank and about the big birthday party on April the 30th, where you'll have the opportunity to participate in a drawing and maybe for $200 come out with a $4,000 or $5,000 piece of art and never go home without an art piece that's worth at least what you paid for. Thanks to you all for what you're doing, and thanks for sharing it with us today.
Thanks, D.G.
And thanks, everybody who's listening. This is D.G. Martin, Who's Talking. I'll be right back here soon.